Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. This is Family of Faith, a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible, and we are continuing today a series we started last week on the roles of biblical manhood and womanhood. And obviously, it's a very important topic for us today and for our church, for our people here at Faith Bible. Just some good reminders for us. And for this conversation, we've asked Brian Sayers to come in and talk with us. Brian, thanks for being here with us again.
Glad to be back.
And last week, we talked about biblical manhood and the role of man, not just in the context of marriage, but also in the context of the church and what that looks like in the broader community and the purposes for the biblical roles and all that. So today we wanted to talk about biblical womanhood, mm-hmm. the role of woman, and has implications for what it means to be a wife. So, Brian, let's talk about the role of woman. You had a definition last week, both for femininity and masculinity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Can you read the femininity role?
Sure. We talked about last week how masculinity includes this benevolent responsibility that it's really the opposite of what we think of as so chauvinism and a controlling kind of a leadership. Here's what it says in Piper and Grudem's book on manhood and womanhood: at the heart of a mature femininity is a freeing disposition to affirm, receive, and nurture strength and leadership from worthy men in ways appropriate to a woman's differing relationships. So I like, again, as I said last week about masculinity, there's a couple of key words in here. One is, this is a freeing disposition. It's the kind of attitude that a woman should possess that doesn't create the need to control men. It's a freeing disposition to affirm, receive, and nurture strength and leadership from, and here's another key phrase, worthy men. Mm-hmm. And so often you begin to talk about what leadership is and what submission and submission to authority is and submission to husbands are. And that becomes really the contentious point. And I like this definition because it reminds us that your ability to affirm and receive and nurture strength, that is not something that you give to anyone or to any man. Women should be given the freedom to assess what worthiness is, how they see that kind of benevolent leadership expressed as the ones that they should really be following in appropriate ways, right? And again, in ways appropriate to their differing relationships. So women are not called to submit to all men, but they are called to submit to their husbands as their husbands lovingly lead them.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. There's a lot of questions that come off of that. And maybe we'll get to some of those questions here in a minute. Talking about, we did this last week, but again, assuming that there might be somebody who's not listening to both, what is the struggle then for, you said it's a freeing disposition. I think there's a lot of women who might say, I don't see anything freeing, right, about being under the authority of another. Where does that disposition come from, this doubt, really, that being under the authority of someone would truly be freeing?
Yeah, well, I think the struggle can find its source in a number of things, right? It could find its source in an upbringing by a domineering father, or it could flow out of experiences that you've had with men who weren't benevolent in any sense, right? And who were controlling. And so it could flow out of those things. It could just be the general disposition of man, right? Who doesn't want to submit to another. We're right. Sinners at heart, and that's just who we are, and that's true of every woman as well. So right. Submission to authority isn't a fun thing in a fleshy heart. Right. And yet we're all called to submit to proper authorities in certain contexts. So men and women all have authorities that they need to submit to. And that's true from the lowest rung to the highest rung in society, in every society.
So for men, we talked about abdicating role. We talked about those men who are oppressive in their leadership. Well, for women, what are the struggles? What do you see?
Well, similar to what we discussed last week in the role of men either being controlling or abdicating their responsibility, you'd see a similar spectrum for ladies. Right. So rather than affirming and nurturing leadership in men, they try to take the reins, control the men around them. Most obviously their husbands, because they're there all the time. So that would be one end of the spectrum. But there's another end of the spectrum where a woman, like a man, can be passive in the ways in which they don't affirm and nurture leadership in the men around them. Instead, they enable poor leadership. They enable ungodliness to happen. And even our culture, we kind of see that swing right now where, I mean, the whole Me Too movement in some ways is born out of a culture where women were being controlled and not responding well, not responding in the right ways to oppression and abuse. And granted, when I say that, I recognize some did respond the right way and weren't heard. And justice was not being pursued. That's certainly part of that whole thing. But there is another side to that where, you know, the person who's being oppressed needs to cry out. That's a biblical idea. Right. So again, being controlling or being passive and not encouraging right kind of leadership is a problem.
Yeah. And we see the controlling more, more obvious or obviously than because it's pretty clear to see when that's happening. It is a little bit harder to see when someone's being passive and not really submitting, just being checked out.
Right.
I think my experience has been you have a lot of ladies who become very bitter towards their husbands, become very never speaking their mind, never giving their opinion. And we think, well, they're being submissive and that's not really what submission is.
No.
Submission isn't being a doormat, right?
Absolutely not.
Right.
We'll talk about that as we talk about what is a woman who is called a helper.
Right.
How is she to be just that for her husband?
Let's jump into that then. What is the role of a wife, of a woman?
Yeah. So we talked last week how men should be lovers, learners, and leaders in their home. And we looked at three key biblical texts that talk about that. We'll do something similar this week. We'll look at three key biblical texts. The first one's in Genesis 2:18, where the first marriage took place. It says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helper fit for him.'" A fitting helper, a suitable helper is the idea here. And it speaks really of completing and corresponding to the role of the husband is a corresponding role of the wife. And they really serve in complementary roles. That's the idea. And that's where we get the idea of complementarianism, that the roles of husband and wife work together. Ideally, that is God's design.
Could you, and this may be for most of our people, stuff they already know, explain what just the terms complementarianism and egalitarianism and you know, teach our people, instruct our people a little bit about what's going on with that.
Sure. The idea of complementarianism is what I said, that the roles of husband and wife complement one another, but they're distinct. So the idea, the philosophy of egalitarianism is really an equality. I'm not even sure I like that word equality.
Right.
Because we talked last week when we talked about husbands leading, that there is essential equality between a man and a woman, husband and a wife. There's nothing different about their spiritual makeup, their intellect, any of those things. In terms of their standing before God, in terms of their human constitution, in terms of image bearing.
Their significance, all that,
They're equals before God. And yet, there's a distinction in roles. Egalitarianism would say there are no distinctions in roles. So we shouldn't distinguish in any way between men and women in terms of roles. So right. I'm not saying biologically, but those social distinctions, they would say those are all social constructs built by religion or society or something like that. So,
yeah, I think that's helpful for people to know because that's what's going on in the church. That's one of the issues facing the church is that issue. So it's important.
Yeah. So going back to Genesis 2:18 about being a fitting helper, you know, sometimes people hear that word helper and they're like, well, that's the low rung. Who wants to be the helper? I want to be the one in charge. But the word helper in the Old Testament is used most often of God, 14 times. And they give a bunch of examples in Psalms. It is in no way a derogatory term, and it is in no way to suggest an unnecessary role or even a secondary role. If God were not my help, then I would be a miserable, wretched failure. And the same is true in my home. If I didn't have Michelle as my helper, I would be a domestic wretch and failure, I'm confident.
Michelle still has a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's really very little area of life where a woman can't help her husband.
Right.
Just as a companion, right? It's not good that the man's alone. So just simply having that companionship is huge and important. But she is an emotional support. She is a spiritual support. In practical ways, physically, obviously, the physical complement to her husband. Parenting for almost every family that's where I think a woman's helpness is most put on display, where they spend the majority of the time with the children and then domestically, but even intellectually. Husbands, your best counselor is going to be the one who knows you best.
Right.
You should be seeking counsel from your wife in every regard. And so she certainly is to be a helper in that way as well, helping you be wise, right? Your collective wisdom is going to be better than your individual wisdom. So let your wife be a helper.
Yeah. And wives can help themselves in that by not beating their husband up when they come to him for advice or when they come to him for help.
Right.
When they show initiation and ask questions, love your husband and how you respond to him and how you critique him even.
Right.
And how you encourage him. I think that's really important. My wife is so encouraging to me. And sometimes I'm like, who are you talking about? Because everything you're saying, I know not to be true of myself, you know, but she's so encouraging that she makes me want to talk to her. Like I want to talk to her more than I want to talk to anybody else.
Yeah. I really love those words in that definition of femininity. They affirm, receive, and nurture leadership in worthy men. So affirming and nurturing leadership is such a help to a man who's got his own sin to deal with.
Yeah. My wife says she's the founder and president of the Paul Funches fan club. And she loves that. I mean, and that makes her, you know, are you your husband's biggest fan?
I think that's
a really important thing. Yeah.
That's a great word. A second responsibility that I think God gives to wives in particular in Ephesians 5:33, he says, let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. So she should be developing, expressing a proper reverence, a respect for her husband. And honestly, what you were just describing, a wife being biggest fan, is one of the best ways to do that. It's so easy to just be critical and not thankful. It's easier to focus on the negatives than it is to accentuate the positives. And but respect is something that is going to flow out of a grateful heart. And you're really only going to be grateful if you pursue that intentionally. So focusing on your husband's successes rather than his failures, that's affirming and nurturing. And I think that's one of the biggest ways that women can do that, to praise him when he does well and encourage him when he fails. Even you don't want to discourage them from trying to lead. Third one, a wife needs to understand and embrace biblical submission. Submission is, in some arenas is really considered a naughty word. The idea of submission, though, is willingly placing yourself under another is at the heart of submission, the way the Bible talks about it. Mm. And the ideal in a Christian home is that that authority that the husband has is exercised in a loving, Christ-like way. That's why we would talk about the role of the husband being a lover and a learner and a leader before we would talk about the role of the wife. In fact, I always do it that way when I'm doing marriage counseling or teaching on these topics. I always address the role of the husband first. And it works together. Again, it's hard to submit to a man who isn't loving and who isn't expressing his care by knowing his wife well.
Yeah.
And serving her faithfully. You know, men, make it easy for your wives to respect you by being respectable. And make it easy for your wives to submit to you by being loving in the way that you lead her. And the opposite is true, right? So wives, make it easy for your husbands to lead by having that submissive disposition. Make it easy for them to love you by being lovable.
Yeah,
Being lovable means you're fulfilling those roles as God has called you to. And so the two really work together. That's God's ideal. So when we talk about marriage relationships and putting the truth on display and letting the world see that living God's way is what provides stability and security in our lives and in our marriage relationships, it's got to be that two-way street of men and women. Husbands and wives fulfilling their roles in the home.
What are the boundaries then of submission? We talked about embracing a biblical role of submitting, but what if your husband's making decisions? Let's say he's crossing some boundaries. How do we know when we do not have to submit to what our husband is doing?
Yeah, in one sense, the answer to that is easy, right? The apostles provide the answer for us when they said, we will obey God rather than man.
Yeah.
And so the easy answer, the quick answer is you always are responsible to obey God before man. So if your husband is asking or requiring or demanding you to do something sinful, then that is outside the bounds of submission. You are never required by God to submit to your husband in matters that are involve sin.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could be as maybe mundane as signing a tax form that is that you know to be less than honest. That would be sinful if your husband's demanding that you sign your name on a jointly filed tax return, knowing that there's lies. I don't think you're required to do that. In fact, you're to be the best helper you can be to your husband. He needs to be admonished about that. So it could be something that seems a little bit mundane like that, but it could be matters of a more serious nature, taking money from a family trust or something, you know, something crazy.
Well,
like
your husband is under authority as well.
Right.
And specifically in the church, there's an authority in the church over him. And when he is in sin, you are not called to go along with his sin or to look over his sin. He has authority over him as well. And you have every right to appeal to his authority to intervene.
Right. Actually, more than a right.
Right.
An obligation. Yeah. Before God.
As a brother in Christ, you know. So,
very good. So there are boundaries to submission.
Right. What would you say to a wife or a woman who, you know, they see in themselves a tendency to error on one side or the other? And they haven't been embracing that biblical role of submission. Do you have any encouragement for them? Any hope for them? Practical steps? What do they need to do?
Well, repentance is always good. Confession and repentance, just humbly acknowledging to God that you long to fulfill your role and need his forgiveness for how you've not done that and his help, right? And that's the hope, the gospel hope that we have, that God changes our hearts and he molds them more and more into the image of Christ. That very Christ who's always did the will of the Father, who submitted to God his head and perfection, and that's the same Spirit that dwells in you that can empower you to do that. So you come to God and ask for his help and grace and mercy toward that end. practically, it involves cultivating those things that we just talked about, being a helper and having respect and learning submission. And so probably on a practical level, even just writing down how are the ways that you've failed in those and neglected those and come up with a plan of some kind. So to give one example, you have a hard time showing respect to your husband. And respect is a concept that involves expressing worthiness and thankfulness is at the heart of that. And so I've encouraged women who tend to be disrespectful, short with their husbands. I've encouraged them to write down on a 3x5 card, 5 things today that you're thankful for to God, thankful to God about your husband for. Just write them down and then thank your husband for one of those, at least one of those, right? Just thank him. And as you express thankfulness to your husband for things that he is or things that he does, it is a way to show respect. It is a way to cultivate in your heart that kind of godly appreciation for him. And so just expressing that appreciation is a big step. So that's a practical way I'd encourage them to think and pursue that virtue.
Yeah. And, you know, I would just add that there are older women in the church. There are other ladies in the church who could be great encouragement to you, who've, you know, they've walked in your shoes probably at different times, and they know what it is to embrace their role, even though that's not what they feel or not what they want necessarily, but they would be a great encouragement to you. Absolutely. Find an older lady, find someone in our body here who could encourage you. Well, Brian, thanks for, there's so much more we could talk about, and obviously we could flesh things out a little bit more, but I think this has been helpful. It's been really, really good reminder for us. So thanks for coming in and talking to us.
My pleasure.
And we'll have you back again, obviously. I encourage you to share our episodes on Facebook or on whatever social media platform that you use. I encourage you to share our episodes, and we'd love to have more people in our church listening. If you have any questions for us, please send them in. We'd love to hear from you. I hear from people in the hallway all the time, but I'd love to hear your questions, or if you have any thoughts about what we could produce podcasts on in the future, just send them to info@fbchurch.org, and we'd love to respond and build a podcast around your question. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.